Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Elcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today I have, oh my goodness, hold on just a second. Oh boy, amazing. Sorry, that was Blog Talk Radio itself interrupting me. Okay, I have a guest today that I consider to be a rock star because he gets the truth out at an astonishing rate. I've never seen anybody this diligent, this conscientious, and this eager to right wrongs. I am talking about Roger Landry of the Liberty Beacon. He has recently written an article that I was just reading, which is so damning, of the CDC. It says, is the CDC guilty of crimes against humanity? Well, I'm going to let him answer that question, and I think that you will be infuriated, because we cannot put up with this anymore. I just called for the canceling of the CDC schedule in light of the latest crime. However, he's going to give you a history of the many crimes against humanity. Welcome, Roger.
Hello. How are you, Sally?
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on, and I am really this is a remarkable article that you have compiled all of the offenses that the CDC has committed against our children, of course, that's first and foremost, but against humanity in general.
Well, I have a comment that I put in this article that I think speaks most, diligently to that subject. And the one paragraph that really stands out is what you are about to see in detail is that over 2.5 generations, the life of the CDC, by total numbers of deceased or lifelong suffering, the CDC, through falsified data, withheld information, inept self-administration, or complicit actions, put some of the most evil reigns in history to shame. We put Nazi war criminals to death for crimes against humanity, for less suffering and death than has resulted from actions of the CDC.
I'm going to let you just continue because you have a lot of materials to cover, and we only have 40 minutes at this point. So go ahead, Roger. Take it away.
Okay. Well, first off, what we need to establish here is that this is a situation that is rampant across all of the health agencies within this government and rampant across all of the health agencies in the free world or the industrialized world. Whether we're talking about Australia, the UK, Canada, these issues exist in every government because at this point, Big Pharmaceutical has literally bought the system. And it is so readily apparent for anybody who chooses to do any research at all. Now, I appreciate you bringing up this article, Sally, because, and again, for anybody who didn't hear the name of the article, and it can be found on thelibertybeacon.com, is the CDC guilty of crimes against humanity? And what we're talking about here is over 2.5 generations. We're talking about since the 1960s. What we have seen through hidden data or corrupted data or data that's been manipulated, and a lot of this has been done through the research that was conducted by PhD microbiologists within the CDC or the EPA or the FDA or the USDA. But we're focusing on the CDC here. A lot of the data that has been conducted by their very own researchers has either been tabled, stuck in a safe somewhere, or altered, or whatever. Now, anybody who knows anything about vaccines or does any research on vaccines today is apparently aware at this point of Mr. Thompson, the CDC whistleblower, who came forward and basically said 12 years ago, we hid a bunch of information that came up in a study that the CDC themselves did that proved unequivocally that black American male children, 36 months old or younger, if administered the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella shot, were 340% more at risk of acquiring autism. Now, they absolutely tabled that because had that hit Congress or had that hit the American public at the time, it would have absolutely pushed a lot of parents away from having their children vaccinated. I'm not telling you that the MMR is not dangerous for all ethnic groups, but this was shown to be specifically 340% more dangerous to the African-American children. They didn't want, of course, their handlers, Big Pharma, didn't want parents backing away from a very profitable vaccine. So they absolutely hit it. Now, let's figure over 12 years how many young African-American children have been given the MMR shot and what percentage of them have autism. And you can start to see the evil here. When profit is more important than people from a government agency that is mandated to protect our health and ensure our safety from these medicines and these vaccines, you have a conflict of interest that is biblical. And this makes the CDC directly responsible for every child, not just African Americans. Because had this study come out, a lot of parents would have had that option in their head. Do I roll the dice with my child and give them this shot we know has a very high probability of inflicting autism on them and basically restricting their life, what they can do, what they can achieve, what they can acquire over a lifetime. So every child that has come down with autism or been inflicted with autism or affected by autism, since this report was originally done and reports of the research started in 2002, we can lay that blame directly on the shoulders of the CDC. Now, that's what's happening recently. But they have a history of this. And the history is long, and the history includes a lot of, well, I can't put it any other way than to say evil. Let's go to another one. There's direct evidence, and if you go to this article, what it is a preface or a lead-up. It's about three or four paragraphs about each subject and then links to the articles that either I have written or contributors to the Liberty Beacon Project have written that are well-resourced, well-referenced, and will give you lend credibility to whatever is being said in this particular article. And there are about four or five topics.
The article can be seen directly under the screen. I updated the screen, Roger, so that it's the first link under the screen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. The other article that you put was, and this goes back to the topic we just discussed, I was fortunate enough last week to do to record a show, a one-hour MP3, with both Dr. Wakefield, who needs no introduction to anybody who delves into the evils and the dangers of vaccines, and Dr. David Wakefield, who was a PhD
David Lewis.
Dr. Yes. David Lewis, thank you. And David is a friend of mine, so I hope he forgives me for that slip of the tongue. But I had both Dr. Wakefield and Dr. Lewis on this discussion, and Dr. Lewis is an EPA microbiologist researcher. He did research for the EPA and also did some work for the CDC when it came to vaccines and other issues. And I had both of them on the show, and we discussed this latest faux pas by the CDC and the fact that they had hidden this information for 12 years. So for anybody who's interested in listening to a very good show that will definitely raise your angst and your anger towards the CDC, that is the first link. and that is when those who we trust to protect our health can no longer be trusted. And it's a great interview, and I strongly suggest that people listen to that. But let's move on to the second topic here, okay? We just discussed the autism issue with the young African-American children, 36 months or younger. Now let's go to another thing that has caused issues across this country for 2.5 generations. When I was a kid, food allergies, we never even heard of them. I'm not telling you they didn't exist because they've always existed, but it was something that was rare, okay? But today, food allergies are very, very common. And the article attached to this particular topic is direct evidence from the CDC that vaccines cause food allergies. Now, our protectors from the CDC have been aware that vaccines cause severe and sometimes fatal food allergies for generations. This is nothing new to them, okay? Yet, you are not warned of this prior to taking your infant in and receiving massive doses of vaccines, because nowadays you don't get one vaccine, you get a batch, all right? And this in itself is alarming, because as Dr. Wakefield put it to me, if I wanted to go into these EPA, the CDC, or someone and say, hey, I've got three different medications here, I want to combine them all into one, and I want to start administering that to the public, the CDC would show you the door. They would say that's ridiculous, because each one in itself has been researched, but when you combine the three, there's no telling what the reactions could be. But yet you will go in with your infant of a year old or your infant of 24 months or 36 months old, and they will give 4, 5, 6 vaccinations. So what you have here is one vaccine that might contain aluminum, another one that might contain thimerosal, another one that contains formaldehyde, and they're injecting them all into this tiny little body with a developing immune system and a developing blood-brain barrier, and nobody is considering the interactions between these chemicals. So this is the same with the food, okay? Charles Rickett, a Nobel Peace Prize-winning doctor, discovered over 100 years ago that proteins injected into the bloodstream will result in a development of an allergy to that protein. Well, almost 100 years later, or about 70 years later, the CDC scientist discovered or rediscovered the same thing. So basically what we're finding is that the food proteins, and there are food proteins in your vaccines, once administered to the body, a lot of the bodies that they're administered to develop food allergies. Why is the CDC knowingly vaccinating our children with mechanisms that can cause life-threatening food allergies? And I know for a fact, I've done the research, and read the article, you'll see the research, that some children have food allergies to the point where if they eat something, say, that has peanuts in it, even though, you know, it's peanut oil or something that was used to cook it, and they're not aware of this, these kids go into anaphylactic shock, and if not rushed to the hospital, they can die. So why is the
CDC...
I've
been told that even smelling someone else's peanut butter sandwich halfway across the cafeteria can result in the same reaction.
Yes, absolutely, and I would have gone into that, but you put it so eloquently, I'm not even going to go back over that. But my question is, why is the CDC knowingly vaccinating our kids with mechanisms that can cause life-threatening food allergies? And why should we, the parents, have to choose between vaccine-preventable diseases and vaccine-induced life-threatening food allergies? Now, that's a question that those who haven't done as much research as you and I have, Sally, might ask, because I'm going to flat out say there's no proof in long-term efficacy in the entire history of vaccination that vaccines have any efficacy at all. So why, if the CDC has known for decades that these vaccines can induce lifelong food allergies into our children, why is, when you bring your child in, why doesn't your doctor look you square in the eyes and say, you realize if you get this shot, the child could have could come down with a food allergy, which could put your child's life in danger anytime he's exposed to that food unknowingly. Is there anybody out there listening to this show who has children, who have had them vaccinated, who has heard that from their doctor? Or does the CDC put this information out? No. So again, we're talking about hidden information that has put hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of lives at risk. So let's go to the first topic we discussed about autism. Let's come to this second topic we discussed about food allergies. We're now talking about a number of children over the last 2.5 generations that have been put at risk unnecessarily because the CDC had the information all along. Let's go to the third topic. Oh, okay. As many as 30 million Americans could be at risk for cancer due to the polio vaccine. This is one of the biggest lies ever told to the American people. And there's a lot that are bigger, but this, as far as the CDC goes, this is one of their biggest lies. Between 1956, right around there, and 1963, the polio vaccine was administered all across this country because polio was supposedly at an epidemic level. What the CDC never bothered to tell you or anybody else was that before the polio vaccine was ever administered to the public in the first place, polio occurrences in this country had dropped off by between 90% and 95%. Every disease on this planet is cyclical. It will go up to a peak and then it will drop off. It will go up to a peak and then it will drop off. So when everybody screams to you about the polio vaccine being the savior of society in the United States because of the massive vaccination program, it's all bullcrap. Because anybody who does any studying at all will find out that polio was almost non-existent before they ever started administering this vaccine. But let's go to the evil of the vaccine here. Because that vaccine was discovered because they were using monkey cells, monkey kidney cells, in order to facilitate this vaccination. This vaccine was tainted with the SP40 virus. That's the simian 40 virus, okay? And it was a known cancer causing virus. Now, the CDC became aware, or the U.S. government became aware in 1960, that this polio vaccine was tainted with the SP40 virus. By 1963, they tell everybody that it was non-existent any longer in the polio virus. It had been pulled out of any new batches. So they're telling you, in their own words, and I'm going to give you a real knee slapper on this. They're telling you in their own words that between 1960 and 1963, they administered this virus knowing that it contained the SP40 virus or this vaccine. So that vaccine was administered to 90 million Americans, and some of them in several doses. 90 million, and some would say as many as 100 million Americans at that point in time got this. Now, I've also run across some information that states that the SP40 virus has been detected in the polio vaccine all the way up through the late 1980s.
Hmm.
Even though the CDC says it was taken out in 1963. Now, let me give you a real kicker here, okay? That's the baby boomers. I'm one of them. I was born in 1954, so I got that polio vaccine, okay? Baby boomers have the highest incidence of cancer in this country. 1 out of 3, that's better than 30%. That's 33.33%, and some would say even higher, of us baby boomers either have or have died from cancer. That is the highest demographic in this country, and we all received that tainted polio vaccine. Now, I wrote an article about this. The article you will read, CDC admits as many as 30 million Americans could be at risk for cancer from the polio vaccine. Of course, that was severely understated. It was probably closer to 100 million. They didn't put that information out until decades after they knew about this. Decades. Now, as soon as I published that article, it went viral. It got 57,000 hits in the first couple of days, and then it got picked up by websites, health websites and anti-vaccine websites across the planet. And within 6 days, the CDC pulled that information off their site and the fact sheet that was on that site. But there's another article that was published a week later that says CDC disappears, linking polio article or their information linking polio vaccine to cancer-causing viruses. So they saw this is going viral, so they pulled the information off their site. Now, let me ask you a question. What makes you look more guilty than an action like that? So now we've got the autism in young African-American children. Now we've got the food allergies, and now we've got them knowingly administering a vaccine for generations to the American public that is tainted with a known cancer-causing virus. We've only hit three. I got enough time to do one or two more, Sally?
Sure do.
All right. The next one is CDC admits flu vaccines don't work. Why do I say flu vaccines don't work? Because the CDC, when repeatedly questioned on the topic, stated that the flu vaccines wear off, necessitating an additional shot each flu season, containing a toxic level of mercury or thimerosal by EPA standards. A full-blown adult getting a batch flu shot by the EPA's set standards, because the EPA sets down a standard on how much mercury, okay, an individual can receive in a given day before it's considered a toxic level. The standard flu shot administered to a full-grown adult contains 3.5 times what the EPA considers to be a toxic level of mercury. Now, let's take that one step further. You take your six-month-old child in to get that same vaccination. And, of course, it's reduced by body weight. But that shot, when received by your six-month-old child, contains 12.5 times the thimerosal that the EPA, not the CDC, because the CDC is telling you to get this shot, it's safe. The EPA says it has 12.5 times what it considers to be a toxic level of mercury for a six-month-old average weight child. Let's go to the real. I mean, you want to hear evil? A developing fetus in its mother's womb, which has no blood-brain barrier at all, none, it doesn't exist, and shares its mother's bloodstream, the mother receives a full-grown, full-blown vaccine. Not an itty-bitty little shot for the fetus, but a full-blown adult flu shot, which contains 25 micrograms of thimerosal. According to the EPA, by that fetus's body weight, that is 2,500, I'll say that again, 2,500 times what's considered to be a toxic level of mercury. Now, the CDC is saying that these shots wear off. Well, that flies straight in the face of what a vaccine is, okay? A vaccine is supposed to create immunity. It's supposed to produce immunity, which supposedly lasts a lifetime. So basically, it doesn't work, okay? Do the math, folks. This is not rocket science. If flu shots worked as well as your own immune system does, response to natural infection, then you would only need one flu shot in your entire life for any given viral flu strain. But that, of course, would be bad for vaccine profits. They need massive numbers of people to believe that annual flu shots are required so that they can keep breaking in huge profits. They do not produce immunity. If they produced immunity, getting a flu shot every year would be ridiculous. Maybe once every 10 years, maybe once every 15 years, but not every single year. So that's the third situation. Not only are the flu shots basically useless All right? And in a lot of cases, people getting the flu shots, okay, are responsible for giving the flu. They cough, they sneeze, they have a live virus. They're giving other people the flu. So not only are the shots basically useless and their efficacy almost does not exist, but the levels of thimerosal you are getting each year are well above what the EPA, a sister health agency, is saying is a toxic level. Now, you have a lot of people telling us that thimerosal is not dangerous to the body and that thimerosal is basically passed through the body. Well, that's a bold-faced lie. It's a blatant lie. Because once thimerosal enters the body, it is metabolized into methylmercury. It goes in as ethylmercury. Then it's metabolized by the body. This is a fact. You can find a link to this in this article if you follow the links. Then it's metabolized into methylmercury, which is very dangerous. But it doesn't stop there. Because the body eventually re-metabolizes it into inorganic mercury. Inorganic mercury is the second most deadly substance on this planet to human physiology, and it's only beaten out by ionizing radiation. So now we have the flu shot. You're given that flu shot every year, and every year your body is getting beat up more and more because you're receiving a toxic level, multiple times over a toxic level, of the second most deadly substance to the human body on the planet. And the CDC has known about this for almost 30 years. So here we go again. Now we've given you a fourth instance where they have known for a fact that these vaccines and what they contain are deadly to humanity, okay, and will cause severe reactions, severe side effects, and in a lot of cases, death. But they don't tell you this information. I've got one more, okay? And actually, I've basically gone over that one. But I do want to mention one more thing. Okay? And this is a little outside of vaccines, but it's about the CDC and it's about your health. The CDC has been conducting research, okay, for 40 years. They've been conducting a health study. 4 decades on nutrition research has been funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and is considered to be totally invalid because the method that was used to collect the data was seriously flawed. Now, this is according to a study done by the Arnold School of Public Health at the University of South Carolina, and it's published, so you can read it. And there's actually a link within the article in that section. The nation's preeminent surveillance tool for studying the relationships between nutrition and health has been proven to be totally invalid. This is the information most dietary standards in this country are set by. It's how our health and the health of a nation is programmed and controlled. So for 40 years, these trusted gatekeepers of our health never caught this. We're talking about scientists with PhDs, never caught the flaw in their studies, but yet an independent university caught it 40 years later. So just about all of the CDC and the FDA nutritional standards are based on faulty data, making it all just about useless. Now, where does this culminate in? Flawed health data leads to faulty health practices, which leads to poor health and premature death. This is not a guess, my friends. So now we're talking about your diet. Now we're talking about the flu shots and their lack of efficacy and the poison thimerosal they contain. And even the CDC tells you they do contain thimerosal. Now we're talking about the autism knowingly being created within the African-American population. And, I mean, Sally, I could go on, but I'm going to stop at this point. So when I title an article, okay, is the CDC guilty of crimes against humanity? These have all been known for decades or generations by the CDC, but the information has been withheld from the public in order to promote the vaccines across an entire nation, and at some point they will become mandatory unless we step up and say something. Do you think I overstated my title?
No, and I would hope that you will conclude with the most damning information of all, because the German study is something that
Oh, yes.
Is absolutely critical. Yes, please do include that.
All right. I will go over that, okay? In 2011, a German study of 8,000 unvaccinated children, newborn to age 19. Now, a lot of studies are done on 2,000, 3,000 individuals. This study was done on 8,000 unvaccinated individuals, 8,000, between the ages of 0 or newborn and 19 years of age, showed that vaccinated children had at least 2 to 5 times more disease and disorders than unvaccinated children. Listen to me again, my friends. Vaccinated children had 2 to 5 times more disease and disorders than unvaccinated children. Okay? That, to me, screams volumes. Now, did the CDC grab that information up and make it available to the public and tell the public, it is up to you. This is your child, okay? This is your decision, but here is the information. We're going to, it is their mandate to protect us and our health and that of our children. It is their mandate. All of this information has been known, and the most damning, as you say, Sally, they've known that for 3 years. Has the CDC trumpeted this study? No. So now what we've got is case after case where the CDC is unequivocally faulted to the side of the puppet masters, Big Pharmaceutical, who literally owns them, because when the director or high officials within the CDC finish their term or a new president comes in and that's an appointed position, they immediately step into a position within one of a large pharmaceutical company. And where do directors for the CDC and the EPA and the FDA come from? They come from these companies. So the revolving door in itself is so unethical, it's insane. They are not there protecting you and I. They are there enhancing the profits of large pharmaceutical companies. Otherwise, I dare anybody listening to this show to explain away the 5 topics I just covered, because there is no other explanation. And who has been held accountable? We took Nazi war criminals who were responsible for tens of thousands of deaths and suffering, and we put them to death. We hung them. The CDC, over 2.5 generations, is responsible for millions of deaths and tens, if not hundreds of millions, of suffering families. Who has ever been held accountable or responsible, and why not? How deep does this rabbit hole go, Sally?
Well, the fact of the matter is our government is a corporation, and they
yes.
are only responsible to making a profit. So
yes.
they are completely, we are as irrelevant. When I meet with legislators, they're literally just putting on a show for me. They so don't serve me. And this is what I've come to learn, is that all of the legislators, who are the ones I've been dealing with for years now, they all know what I'm talking about. And I read an article, it might have been from the Liberty Beacon, that said you can't get the truth from someone who already knows the truth. You can't educate, you can't enlighten people who already know the truth. So that is not
yes.
just accurate of the CDC, it is also accurate of our legislators. They, too, know the truth. And they are literally just giving me ear service, not lip service. I'm the one who's talking to them, and they're sitting there politely and looking surprised at the appropriate junctures, but they are not surprised. They have this information. And, in fact, the latest study, if I may, the German study, I had vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Paul Fassa had had published that, and I gave that to Representative Posey's chief of staff, Stuart Burns, and he was thrilled to receive it. I, at the time, however, was asking him to sponsor Ban Vaccines 2013, the legislation that included all of the ingredients, all of the diseases that result from these poisons, which are all diseases in internal medicine, and thirdly, the intent to harm. So four parts of intent. This latest revelation about the MMR linked to the MMR vaccine linked to autism, that, of course, as you say, is actually the greater story. The fact that African-American boys have a greater incidence of autism is a huge story unto itself.
340%.
Right, but this is the first time they are actually stating that the MMR vaccine causes autism. So that's what really, that's the first story.
1998. Right, in 1998, and again, I just did, and I absolutely loved talking to this man. He is a very eloquent gentleman to talk to. I just did this interview with Dr. Andrew Wakefield. And in 1998, they raked him over the coals in 1997. They raked him over the coals, and today there are still vaccine shows out there saying that he's a fraud, he's a fake, he's destroyed how many lives? And he started this ball rolling about waking up so many people to the affliction of autism.
I have a question in regard to Dr. Lewis.
You
had interviewed him separately prior to your interview with both he and Wakefield.
From
that interview? Because the reason I ask is I listened to the interview. I got interrupted so many times. I never got to find what he outed during this interview. So I'm asking you now.
I'm going to give you, well, there's two things. I'll give you the lesser of the two evils, which is a big enough evil itself. The EPA had done so many questionable things, and of course he is a PhD microbiologist and also a college professor at the University of Georgia. He had told me that at one point there had been a mass exodus of researchers from the EPA, and the reason that they had gone is because the EPA was becoming so corrupt that the research that was being done was not being presented to the American public. And if any of these researchers told anybody outside of the EPA, they ended up by losing their career. At one point, they even insisted they were bringing researchers into the administrator's office and telling them they needed to wear a wire so they could record conversations they were having with their fellow researchers and find out who was going to be spilling the beans on the EPA, at which point they could get rid of them. Well, these researchers were refusing to wear a wire, and so a lot of the researchers that were refusing to go along with the corruption that was building within the EPA left the EPA. They had a mass exodus. That's the first evil. Now I'm going to tell you the biggest evil, something that's literally going to rock you to the core. Dr. David Lewis, who is a friend of mine and now a contributor for the Liberty Beacon Project, told me that the EPA was the first to come up with these laws or to state regulations for purifying water before it is dumped sewage, basically, before it's dumped back into our rivers or our reservoirs or the ocean or whatever, because this water basically contained a lot of pollutants. So a lot of these big municipal water companies were forced by the EPA to purify the water. Now, what ends up after the result of that is a sludge. After you take all of these toxins out of the water, you end up with a sludge. So what do you do with the sludge when it's done? Well, what the EPA approved was this sludge being put on your children's school playgrounds, on golf courses, on highway medians, and, believe it or not, sold as organic mulch for your organic gardens. Now, let me tell you why that's so evil, okay? The water could not be put back into the rivers or put back into the reservoirs because after it came through the sewage, it was considered to be toxic. So they filtered it all out and sold this sludge. Well, the sludge contains concentrations of lead, mercury, aluminum, and other bio and neurotoxins that are concentrated at levels, here we go, a million times higher than the polluted water. I'm going to say that one more time. A million times higher, and this is in his book and referenced in these articles and the show I did with him. So what your child is playing in on the school grounds, what you're putting on your organic garden, okay, is sludge when dried out looks like dirt with concentrations of neuro and biotoxins a million times above what the EPA forced these companies to take out of the water before they could put it back into the water system. So now we not only have the vaccines poisoning us, but autism can also be caused by environmental pollutants. If you've got a young child out there playing on that playground and is exposed, we know what lead does to the brain. We know that for a fact. But this child is playing in dirt that has a million times the concentration of what it is and what we consider to be polluted water. Do children eat dirt? Do they absorb some of the chemicals in that dirt through their skin? It's called osmosis. This happens, okay? This happens, and if you're growing your food in it, your food literally via its root system pulls these toxins and biotoxins out of the soil into the food you're eating. But
well,
that
certainly is explosive. That certainly is explosive. My Lord.
And the EPA has known about this for a very long time. And until Dr. Lewis put that out in an article, which he contributed to TLB, and did it in a show with us, I would guarantee you that 9,999 people out of 10,000 didn't have a clue. So it's not just the CDC. And I could go on about the FDA as well.
Oh, go ahead. Let it rip. You've got 3 minutes.
Well, no, I'm going to let you wrap up the show because I can't tell you what I want to tell you in 3 minutes. But one of these days, I'll come back on and we'll talk about the A. What I want to say in closing.
I do want to make one comment about the FDA because as far as I'm concerned, when I heard about the CDC whistleblower making the link, the cover-up of the link between the MMR vaccine and autism, I thought immediately of the FDA, and I will tell you why. Friends of mine representing different groups that deal with Gardasil, Truth About Gardasil, Sanevax, I believe possibly
yes.
another website that involves Gardasil, had informed. I know one woman made a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation to the FDA, Marianne
yes.
Green, along with others. And they told them, I looked at the PowerPoint, and one of the statistics that really hit me hard is that prior to the Gardasil vaccine, only middle-aged women and above were getting HPV or human papillomavirus. And since the advent of the Gardasil vaccine, teenagers were getting the human papillomavirus. Of course, that incredible outing of, through the Freedom of Information Act where the vaccines cause the diseases they're claimed to prevent certainly was applicable in this case. Well, they made this presentation, and unlike Japan, Italy, and India, they did not pull the Gardasil vaccine, or at least attempt to. They offered it to the boys. And I thought, you know, this is so
and to infant children. They want to give it to infant children now.
Oh, I know that. I realize that. But what I'm saying is they realize as does the CDC, this was not done, these were not reports given by in-house experts, but they are in fact experts on this issue. And
yes.
So I'm just saying that the FDA is as culpable, certainly, if for no other reason